There's no end to the versatility of Father Hardin. His clear explanations using the epistles of St. Paul as a sure guide bring us face to face with the value of suffering and its superabundant grace-giving qualities. One who wants to spend eternal life in heavenly bliss with an all-good and all-merciful God, our Blessed Mother, the angels and the saints, will find the roadmap clearly outlined in this talk. Eternal life presents a truly formidable adversary of Lucifer, the prince of this world. Jesuit Father John Hardin.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Queen of the Apostles, pray for us. Our conference this evening is on the cost of sharing Christ. Our subtitle is The Heart of St. Paul. It is impossible to read much of St. Paul's letters without being struck by the price he paid for his zeal in proclaiming Jesus Christ. So the descriptions he gives of the trials he experienced in the apostolate are among the most graphic in human literature, as they are certainly the most poignant in biblical revelation. Even at the distance of 1900 years, we still shudder at what he wrote that he underwent and wonder how one man could have suffered so much and survived so long as he did in preaching the Word of God and announcing to everyone that Jesus is the Lord. Believe in him and be saved. St. Paul's experiences are a salutary lesson for all of us. In fact, they are a stinging rebuke to anyone who is satisfied with believing in Christ, but not striving to share his faith in Christ with others. When we reflect on how much this one man achieved at the dawn of Christianity, how many nations he evangelized, how many thousands he brought to the light of the gospel, we can only speculate on what would have been the course of Christian history had there been just one Paul of Tarsus, even once every 100 years since his martyrdom in 67 A.D. In one sense, this is not vain speculation. As the present Holy Father is telling us, we have entered in our century into more than just what we popularly call the communications age. It is, and no doubt it will be until the end of time, the age of communications. But just because it is the age of communications, it is meant to be, as the Second Vatican Council could not have made plainer in its document Inter Mirifica, the most neglected of the 16 documents of Vatican II. Just because we've entered the age of communications, in the providence of God, this is meant to be the age of evangelization. He might also, in one sense, say, we are beginning a new apostolic age. Our age offers prospects for bringing millions, hundreds of millions, to the feet of Jesus Christ. just as the world, have been brought to the feet of Christ by St. Paul. But how this world needs, how it needs a St. Paul. Pope John Paul II, anticipating the crisis through which the Church is now passing, tells us he is looking forward to the 21st century as the brightest in the history of Christianity, but on one condition. That condition is that we have the faith and the zeal of St. Paul. Consequently, please God, this will not happen. The media of communication will remain only that, sterile instruments and potential means, unless they arrive in our day and soon, faithful in every state of life, whose love of Christ is so ardent, whose love of Jesus is so burning, that it cannot remain in themselves, but must be communicated to others. The very essence of love is to give. Love wants to share. Must is not too strong a word to describe an attitude of spirit that craves to share with a hunger for giving what is born of God, and that, like God, wants to share if possible with the whole human race. You would think, wouldn't you, that after all these years since Christ died and rose from the dead, at least more, if not most, of the human family would be Christian, and indeed Roman Catholic. Given the logic of our faith, you might say, it stands to reason. What are we waiting for? Is not the person of Jesus the most appealing, even on human grounds, in the annals of recorded history? Is not the message of Jesus sublime in the highest degree? Is not the Christian ethic, the standard preached and practiced by Christ, elevating personal and social morality? And just to mention, shall I call it a detail, raising women to a dignity that is unknown outside the true faith. Women are respected, women are loved, women are honored only, I repeat the adjective, only where Christianity is strong and vibrant. Has not Jesus Christ promised to give the help of his grace to those who proclaim his name, that they would even work miracles? Indeed, he foretold greater miracles than any he performed, in witness to the truth of his claims. We answer yes to all these questions. And then we look at the facts. Hardly one-third of the human race is even nominally Christian today. And the ratio of growth among non-Christians is greater by far than in Christian countries, now plagued by contraception, divorce, and murder of the unborn. We have reached in the United States zero population. Our deaths outbalance our births. So far, the introduction. Now we ask, what is the explanation? Why has Christ not been accepted by more? In fact, by most of the world by now. There are no simple answers, and the final estimate must be left to the mysterious judgment of God. Nevertheless, one explanation is provided by St. Paul, and the evidence he gives is overwhelming. In the title of our present conference, one reason, and I believe the underlying reason, is the cost of sharing Christ. We might have expected that trying to present Christ to the world would not be easy, and in fact, would be hard, as he foretold. After all, look at the problems that Christ had in presenting himself to the world. He experienced opposition and persecution. He was rejected by his own Nazarenes, who tried to kill him when he spoke to them in their own synagogue. Finally, he was crucified for daring to intrude on the smug complacency of the people of his day. He made it clear that those who were to follow him and try to communicate his message of salvation would face the same thing. For me, the single most consoling message